Happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. New Orleans is returning to normal after this week's deadly truck attack. Bourbon Street has reopened. Resident Joseph Amato is proud of his city.
We're not going to be scared or terrorized. New Orleans is going to keep going like we always do.
CBS's Katie Weiss has the latest on the investigation into the attack.
The FBI says Shamsuddin Jabbar rented an electric truck on Monday in Houston, Texas, where he lived, and drove to New Orleans on Tuesday evening. After midnight on the morning of the attack, he placed two improvised explosive devices in coolers in the French Quarter. He posted a final online video proclaiming support for ISIS just minutes before he plowed into the crowd on Bourbon Street.
There are also new details on the Cybertruck explosion in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. More from CBS's Adam Yamaguchi.
They're calling it a suicide. The man identified in the explosion is Matthew Leibelsberger. He was a 37-year-old active duty member of the Army Special Forces. He was a 5-time Bronze Star recipient and Green Beret based out of Fort Carson, Colorado.
Investigators say Leibelsberger shot himself just before the explosion. The new Congress convenes today and chooses new leadership. CBS's Scott McFarland has more from Capitol Hill.
Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana is trying to keep the job, but he enters the vote on the U.S. House floor with a perilously small majority and an even smaller margin for error. He can lose just one Republican vote during the floor vote and still win the speakership. Democrats are unified against him, and some Republicans have yet to commit, including those who met with Johnson in his office late Thursday.
A federal appeals court has struck down the FCC's net neutrality rules, which prevent internet service providers from blocking or slowing down access to online content. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur explains.
Now the courts have decided that the FCC doesn't have the power to make rules around net neutrality, which means that this is still a debate, but it's back in the halls of Congress, where it's unlikely there will be any agreement anytime soon.
Net neutrality rules had been repealed by President Trump, but were reinstated by President Biden. Two people were killed when a small plane crashed through the roof of a furniture factory in Southern California. Michael Meacham is with the Fullerton Fire Department.
We did have minor injuries, and we did have very serious injuries as well. And I do want to clarify, it was 19 patients were treated with two fatalities.
The plane had just taken off from Fullerton's airport. The pilot had asked to return to the airport, but didn't say why. On Wall Street, traders looking to turn things around after yesterday's rough start to the year. Dow futures up 134 this morning, S&P up 21. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, hard to believe the one-year anniversary of Matinair on air. We're going to celebrate and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and cold today, our high in the mid-teens, but the wind out of the northwest at 10 to 20 is going to keep that wind chill below zero all day long. Tonight, mostly clear, down to around zero for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high once again in the low to mid-teens. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk the Packer-Bear matchup with Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clements. Then Rob Thomas drops by to talk movies and TV. Now that's a Friday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Frigid start to a Friday morning. Good morning, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee. So glad to greet you in it. A little bit of a surprise. Staff folks got through the holidays okay, but now that norovirus that has been being a part of the news in so many areas of the United States, part of the farm department too. So I'm checking in from the Green Bay area to bring you all the latest news that's happening as far as food and farming is concerned. We'll be checking in with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, and all your weather details in just a moment. It may look pretty out there today, but it is going to stay cold, and the winds are starting to kick up as well. Sunny today, daytime highs expected to be around 19 above, but factor in winds out of the northwest, 15 to 25 miles an hour, and those wind chill values start plummeting fast. Tonight, down to about 5 above, but again, the wind sticks around. Saturday, sunshine, high temperatures around 19. Saturday night, the winds start slowing down. Sunday, for the big game against the Bears up in Green Bay, cloudy skies, high temperatures near 18 with a light breeze out of the north, about 10 miles an hour. Then on Monday, sunshine back around, highs near 24. I understand that this cold weather is going to stick around for a while. After all, it is January in Wisconsin. But what about snow? Is there any of that on the horizon? Like I said, Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, checking in. We've got another farm salute for our century sesquicentennial honorees from 2024. That's coming up, along with a reminder that if you've got a farm that is qualifying as a century or sesquicentennial candidate, you should start that paperwork now. The Wisconsin State Fair waiting until the end of March for your applications. So please make sure you're checking our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, or contacting the Wisconsin State Fair for official details on how you can finalize that paperwork. Also this morning, we are talking a little bit about another conference that's on the horizon. This one, the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic. Our cooperators all across the state, those would be our agronomists, our consultants that work with us, gathering together this time at a new location in Wisconsin Dells. Stephanie Hoff is going to bring us that update. This morning, we want to start you off with a conversation focused in on another event that's happening in January. It's routinely called the UW Ag Outlook Forum. It's hosted by the Rank Agribusiness Institute. Normally, what they do is take a closer look at the bottom line of Wisconsin agriculture, commodity by commodity. But this year, with Trump 2.0 coming in, a new administration that's been very vocal on some of their goals as far as different policy elements, well, UW Ag Outlook Forum this year is going to take a little bit of a different look at Wisconsin agriculture. I had a chance to talk about it with Dr. Paul Mitchell. He is the coordinator of the Rank Agribusiness Institute. He is also the mastermind behind the guests and the conversations that will start unfolding coming up January 20th on the UW-Madison campus. Now, this event is open to anyone that wants to lean in to learn a little bit more about some of the issues that face Wisconsin agriculture. You can do it live or you can do it virtually. As Dr. Mitchell explains, they're hoping that everyone will come together at Union South for the dialogue. But the most important part is just exchanging the dialogue. He tells me more.
The goal of the forum every year is to address a topical issue and get in front of things. And this year, there was so much uncertainty with the Trump presidency coming in the second time around. And it's not the same as the first time around. And so I wanted to get in front of this. There was a lot of talk about trade issues, a lot of talk about labor issues, a lot of talk about environmental issues. There's so much happening. And I think it's very important for agriculture to start thinking about these issues now. And so we're trying to get in front of things instead of talking about what happened.
Obviously, by the 21st, we're not going to know a whole lot, although his cabinet has come together far faster this time around than the first initiative. Tell me a little bit about how you selected your speakers this year, because you are deep on people with inside knowledge in a lot of different areas.
My goal is very much to do something new and different this year. And so I really wanted to find experts who could offer us new perspectives, to hear from people we don't normally hear from about issues that are important to all of us in Wisconsin, here in Wisconsin Ag especially. So we brought in Nick Paulson. He's a professor at the University of Illinois, who's on the President's Council of Economic Advisors during the first Trump administration for a year. We got Chuck Nicholson to talk about dairy, where that's going with trade. We got Chris DeLong to talk about, he's one of the major exporters here in the U.S. of specialty grains out of southern Wisconsin. And we got ag law. We've got small businesses. We got a lot of perspectives.
The other thing that we are aiming for this year is a fluid conversation. Again, if you perceive the Ag Outlook Forum as one speaker with PowerPoint standing in front of you, we're changing it up this year. You very much want the audience to engage in question-answer conversation.
Yes, we're very much going away from the format of a 20-minute presentation. It's going to be a short presentation to explain who they are and their expertise, and then conversations with each other and with the moderator, Pam Yonke, to help us understand what they think is going to happen, what their concerns are.
And we are keeping some of the key components that have been a staple to the Ag Outlook Forum. If you routinely have listened to our experts in dairy, beef, grain, overall markets, you kept those components in place too.
Yes, you very much will get the situation and outlook of all of our major ag commodities in the state. But then we'll also have these specialists come in and talk about where they see the Trump administration's impacts on Wisconsin ag, with a discussion and a conversation, really. And then moving into the end, we'll allow audience participation with questions from the audience as well.
You are going out on a limb, Paul, in that the president will be seated, but we won't likely know any tangibles. How did your guest respond when you extended the invitation? You're kind of putting him out there on the limb. What did they have to say about this?
Yeah, they said a lot just depends on what he's going to do, and nobody really knows. Well, there's a lot of talk, but you know, how much is talk versus how much is going to actually happen? We won't know yet then, but I think we'll get some. I've worked hard to find some good experts that'll give us their perspectives, and I think everyone will understand better what they think might be happening and what to prepare for.
Dr. Paul Mitchell in studio with us. He's in charge at the Rank Agribusiness Institute, which is the hosting body for the annual UW Ag Outlook Forum at Union South on the UW-Madison campus. That is January 21st from 10 until 4, and it will be jam-packed. Another emphasis that there will be a virtual component that is available to you. You can check out the Rank Agribusiness YouTube channel that will also be real-time, virtually available, and also allow you to suggest questions that you might want panelists to address. Now, let's chat a little bit more about how this kind of a Ag Outlook Forum, Paul, is designed to start conversations, not just on campus, but really for agribusiness leaders across the state. Policymakers will be in the audience. You draw a diverse crowd for these events.
Yes, we get ag lenders, we get a lot of the state and federal ag experts in there from the agencies. We get all the various agribusinesses. They like to bring their leadership from all of our various ag conferences and associations. It's meant to bring us and talk about the issues in more of a, not the science like a plant pathology or a agronomy or an animal science presentation, but talk about policies and issues that are affecting decision makers.
You mentioned to me this Ag Outlook Forum started as just a nucleus of an idea, small group conversations almost, and it's now flourishing. You fill up Union South.
That's the goal, and we've been getting better each year. It's really, the key is to finding good topics and looking forward, not backwards.
Well, folks, we've got a hot one for you this year. That is for sure. Wipe everything you imagined about an Ag Outlook Forum out of your mind, because we are going in new territory this year, investigating what Wisconsin agriculture is looking forward to, watching out for with Trump 2.0. That plus the components of what's going on with the cyclical marketing of grain, of dairy, of beef, as well as the overall marketing forecast. Some great staples. And let's not forget federal milk marketing orders. That's something that's already in play. Whatever you ponder about Wisconsin agriculture, they likely will touch on. That's January 21st from 10 until 4, UW's Union South. If you'd like to register, the best way to do that is jump online, look for the Rank Agribusiness Institute, and you will find the forum there. We'll also have a hot link on our website. Looking forward to moderating the 2025 UW Ag Outlook Forum January 21st. With Dr. Paul Mitchell in studio from the Rank Agribusiness Institute, I'm Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
21st. That's a Tuesday when we'll be gathering together on the UW-Madison campus. So again, like I said, interested in that one, go to the Rank Agribusiness Institute website, or you can also check out MidwestFarmReport.com for details on how you can get rolled into that event. Time for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Friday. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, kind enough to join us this morning. Man, I'll tell you, only in Wisconsin can things change so fast. Yesterday, I was coming up from Chilton, got a chance to visit with a beef producer, the Geyser family in Chilton. I get just south of Green Bay and look to my left, and I see a guy that's doing a little bit of digging, a little bit of tillage work, even today. And the tractor wasn't smoking. It wasn't working very hard. That tells me something about our soil temperatures, I guess.
I guess we must have lost some frost, because I had the report here before Christmas that it was almost a foot in.
Wow.
Over here in that eastern part of Wisconsin, so that warm air must have given a break.
You think, or maybe that rain that we picked up, kind of that goofy patch around Christmas time, maybe that drew it out.
I'm sure that helped a lot, too. So it is different than it was just a week or so ago. There's no doubt about that.
Well, and suddenly as I look outside this morning, I had to let the hounds out. And we're back to a little bit of a wispy snow in the air here in Green Bay. Pretty decent breeze swirling around out there. That sounds like modus operandi for the rest of the day, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of going to keep a little wintry feel around, Pam. That light snow only up in that northeast and north central part of the state from Wausau east. I'm seeing some reports of very scattered flurries and a little activity southeast of Green Bay, if you will. Kewaunee, that kind of an area. Just nothing very heavy. A few scattered flurries out there, enough to give it that wintry look. The bigger factor today is it does stay cooler. And along with the northwest wind, it's going to feel kind of chilly. Working outdoors, getting things done, bundle up. Make sure you're dressed up for it, because it is going to be chilly. Temperatures the coolest we've seen in a while. And then you add a breeze to that from the northwest, and we start pushing wind chills down there, single digits above and below zero. A cool day, there's no doubt about that. And it's not going to change in a real big hurry. I expect we stay on the cooler than normal side right on through the weekend, right into next week. I've seen one forecast here for most of January indicating we remain on the cooler than normal side. So we're going to get some wintry conditions. I guess we needed them. I don't have any big snowstorms on the radar. I don't see that happening. In fact, one low pressure system way off to our southeast this morning, down around Ohio. Another one will move in this week from the originally from the northwest part of the U.S., but it may dive as far south as almost Oklahoma by late Saturday night or Sunday. So there could be precipitation to our south we'll hear about. Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana. As far as Wisconsin is concerned, only the very slightest of chances. And that would be, I'd expect, in the far southeast part of the state. And that could be something that happens around Sunday, but for most of us, we're not going to have to worry too much about snow at all. Nothing to look forward to for that. Just these cool temperatures moderating somewhat into next week, but even that moderation still cooler than normal. I should say across a good part of southern Wisconsin, 28 is the normal daytime high, and that drops down toward the mid-20s in northern Wisconsin. So as I talk, only about 20 are in the teens. We're that far below normal. And that cool spell will be around right on through next week. So a colder January definitely has arrived. I'll be back with more of those cheery forecast details right after this.
You see the headlines all the time. Consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Alrighty, Stu. Well, like you said, this is the kind of weather that we expected, although I guess a lot of us were hoping maybe a little bit more snow. Talk text line is alive with activity this morning. Remember that number, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Stan, who is just outside of Green Bay, texting me this morning, Stu, that they just put some drain tileage in on Monday. So a lot of spots in the state that must not be experiencing much frost.
Yeah, I'm sure it did come on early and probably has given us a break. It's receded somewhat. And we'll not be doing that with these colder temperatures now, though. Our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update does call for those clouds and that flurry activity north central northeast Wisconsin. More sun the further you are to the west or south. Temps today in the upper teens, maybe a 20 in the south. With the northwest winds 5 to 15, there may be some gusts near 25 or a little better on the eastern edge of the state. Overnight with a clear sky, we drop to single digits, just above zero. And the northwest winds will be at 5 to 15. Sunny skies again on Saturday and back in the teens. Maybe only low teens in the far northwest, upper teens elsewhere. The northwest winds still only 5 to 15. And even Sunday, I expect some clouds in the south, more partly sunny skies, even more sun in the far northwest. But those mid and upper teens, Pam, with the north winds at 5 to 15. And we don't change that temperature pattern much even into next week, staying on that cooler side. Most likely teens for highs.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what rolls in. Like you said, this is a big one going as far south as potentially Oklahoma.
Yeah, and probably not going to have a real big influence here, but we're going to watch it move by.
All right, buddy. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend. We'll catch up with you next week.
You bet. See you then.
All right. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, checking in with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, Compure Financial, available for agriculture and rural living. Go to compure.com for more.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Special Report. Bourbon Street has reopened after this week's deadly truck attack. CBS's Katie Weiss is in New Orleans.
Crowds returned to Bourbon Street Thursday, along with extra police presence. Authorities now say the man who rammed a truck through crowds celebrating the new year early Wednesday acted alone.
The FBI says the attacker was an Army veteran who was 100% inspired by ISIS. He had planted two explosive devices on Bourbon Street, but they didn't go off. The attacker's brother, Abdur Rahim Jabbar, says he's still in shock.
This is completely out of character for him, you know, these actions. And they're also not any type of representation of what it means to be a Muslim.
Kathleen Tenodorio lost her son Matthew in the attack.
He was just a very loving, everybody's friend kind of person.
14 people were killed, dozens were injured. The two police officers who were wounded in the shootout with the attacker have been released from the hospital. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Tom Cruise is getting into the casting business. The Mission Impossible star is currently looking for a younger version of himself to play the role of Ethan Hunt. The next two installments of the franchise, those would be films 8 and 9, will be prequels. Rumor has it the 8th film will be Cruise's last on screen, but he will still continue to produce the franchise. Glenn Powell was initially rumored to take over the role, but those rumblings have recently been shot down. No word yet on whether or not Cruise will expect his younger self to do his own stunts. Could be a deal breaker. Sticking with the action thriller genre, Viola Davis will play the president in the upcoming film G20. Variety reports the Oscar winner will play Commander-in-Chief Danielle Sutton, who narrowly avoids being kidnapped, then proceeds to save her family and the world. The film will be directed by Patricia Riggin and drop on Amazon Prime this coming spring. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks fall to the Nets again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Nets 113-110. Milwaukee now 1-3 against Brooklyn. Doc Rivers after the loss.
I mean, all four games have basically been the same game. We came back and won. They beat us the first game. And then the game here without Giannis and Dame, that was the only game that we actually had a big lead.
The Bucks will host Portland tomorrow night. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers back in action against the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight at the Kohl Center. NFL, it's the Packers and the Bears at Lambeau Field. Green Bay's already clinched a playoff spot, so will they play all of their starters this Sunday?
I think we got to go in with the mindset that everybody can expect to play the entire game, and we're going to win, you know, play a football game to win the game. And that's how we always approach it and always will approach it. And, you know, some guys could have less snaps than they normally might get, but that is to be determined.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, hard to believe, the one-year anniversary of Mattenair on Air. We're going to celebrate and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and cold today, our high in the mid-teens, but the wind out of the northwest at 10 to 20 is going to keep that wind chill below zero all day long. Tonight, mostly clear, down to around zero for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high once again in the low to mid-teens. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mattenair on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Mattenair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lebo, and all it takes is one or two on a given play for things to go dramatically wrong.
Welcome back on a finally Friday morning. Pam Yonke here, the fabulous farm babe. This is the Midwest Farm Report. A couple of things that we're going to be discussing you don't want to miss on this finally Friday. Ben Jarbo is going to join us. You know, one of the things about Wisconsinites and their cheese, we like it squeaky. How many times have you put a bag of cheese curds back in the microwave for a couple seconds just to get that squeak back? Well, researchers are trying to figure out how they can actually prolong that squeak so you don't have to do stuff like that. He's on the way to provide us those cutting-edge answers when it comes to food and farming on a Friday. We're also going to be checking up with our friend Charity Seebecker this morning. She has got some young people that are already thinking about county fair season 2025. Right now, many of them are making investments in young piglets that they believe will hold the answers they're looking for to county fair ribbons. Jeff Morris, our University Extension swine specialist, helping those young people make those decisions and get ready with those hogs. We've got that story just around the corner. It is the third day of January. I'm working remotely this morning, so I hope that everybody can hear me nice and loud and clear on this clear Friday. It is the third day of January. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day back in 1956, Racine County had a jailbreak, its very first jailbreak. And it kind of catches attention because at that time, the jail was located on the ninth floor of the county courthouse in Racine County, which they considered inescapable. Well, that was until this day back in 1956. Also on this day, Senator Gary George from Milwaukee proposed building a downtown retractable roof stadium for the Brewers. It became Miller Park. The stadium funding proposal started on this day back in 1994. Some happy birthdays for you. Happy birthday to actor Mel Gibson. He is 68 years young today. From the sports world, Eli Manning is 43. And now you know. Well, we know that one of our bigger agribusiness conventions is actually going to be happening in just a few days, and this group has decided to change locations. The Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic, headed to Wisconsin Dells, in part because the technology that we're using today in agriculture, the machinery we're using, it just is getting bigger and bigger, and they needed the square foot space. I don't want to steal all the thunder from Stephanie Hoff, who catches up with that update.
January 13th and 14th are the dates for the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic, put on by the Wisconsin Agribusiness Association. A wealth of knowledge coming your way on all things crop protection, nutrient management, the regulatory environment, and, of course, new farm technology. WABA's new executive director, Grace Howe, previews this year's event, starting with its location. The Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic is in a new spot in 2025.
After being at DeLine Energy Center in Madison for a number of years, we kind of thought it was time to take a fresh start and a new approach to the show. So we've moved to the Kalahari in the Dells. This will be our first year in the Dells. We've got a lot of good industry topics that we'll be speaking on, workforce development being one of them to kind of tie into our priorities for 2025. And then we partner with UW Extension, where they provide some educational offerings as well. So just kind of looking forward to hopefully some enhanced excitement and kind of just a new feel and new layout for the show, and hopefully the momentum stays increased for future years.
Thanks for reminding me that it has moved locations. Yeah. So folks who have been attending for a number of years or maybe haven't attended in a while, it's now in a more, I'd say, more central location. Was that part of the strategy?
Yeah, I think so. We looked at kind of a few different options around Madison area, but I think the Kalahari kind of stuck out as our number one choice with lodging and whatnot all tied in. So it's a great facility, and we're looking forward to seeing a lot of faces there.
I'm always impressed, though, with the agenda, because you always have such a wide array of expertise, a large number of speakers, and also exhibitors. Can you give us a sense of the numbers of how many professionals will be attending either as guests or as speakers?
Last year we had around 700 to 900 attendees, and we're hoping to have the same number again. That includes speakers and exhibitors as well. We do have 52 educational presentations that will be happening over the course of the 2 days. We've got about a little over 75 exhibitors, which is similar to what we had last year. So I'm looking forward to having just as many attendees as last year.
Another unique thing about your event is that it's often pretty technical, because you're discussing research. The things that you are discussing are applied to the ag businesses that support farmers around the state. It's technical, but it's also relevant. So some of the things that popped out to me, you know, research on manure application, ag technology like drones, pest management and sustainability, which continues to be a topic. Can you speak to some of the topics that stand out to you that, may be technical, but also very valuable to a farm business?
You know, we're very grateful to have UW partner with us in having their researchers present all their findings over the last year or so. Like you said, a lot of these presentations are pretty technical, but I think they're super valuable. And the presenters do a great job in kind of breaking it down for the agribusiness professionals to kind of understand what they've found in their research and how it's going to benefit them. So UW lines up a lot of those technical presentations, but I'll just say we're really grateful to have them and to have such a strong research-based university right here in Madison.
Farmers often run into pretty technical language, rules, and regulations in the day-to-day life of having a farm business, and your presenters can break that down really well, too. Things on water quality regulations or manure application windows and things of that nature, even policies that are on the books at the state level, you can break those down for your attendees as well.
That's a really good point. A lot of our sessions, too, we offer CCA, CCU credits for professionals that are CCA certified. So that's another great option that we've got right here at our Classic, and kind of helps them stay up to date on their continuing education.
And Grace, to cap us off here, there is still time to get registered, and you can register day of, correct? Can you walk me through those logistics?
Correct. On our website, you can find a registration link that will close probably sometime mid next week. And then from there, if you want to come, you can surely register on site for either both days or just a single day.
And the Wisconsin Agribusiness Association's website is WIagribusiness.org. That's where you can find that registration link. Grace, we haven't talked yet about the networking aspect. That's one of my favorite parts of any convention, is to get acquainted with the experts and your peers in the industry. Tell me more about the value of that aspect.
You know, trade shows overall are just a very beneficial opportunity, important opportunity for professionals, no matter what the industry. But, you know, we've had great feedback over the years that we've done this on, you know, how it connects people with different businesses within the industry. And then just, you know, that ability to network. But then, like you said, the array of educational sessions we have is going to be a great benefit as well. We understand, you know, in this ag industry that we're in, like I said, you know, we're kind of short on work. Course, but sometimes it's kind of hard for people to get away and go to these events anymore. But I think at the end of the day, this is one that is going to help them with their business and their professional goals as well.
Register in advance or find the event details at WIagribusiness.org. Grace Howe is the Wisconsin Agribusiness Association's new executive director, previewing what's in store for their annual event on January 13th through the 14th. Don't forget, the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic is in a new location this year, the Kalahari Convention Center in the Wisconsin Dells. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Yeah, that is a great convention. Thank you, Stephanie, and we will see you there. The Midwest Farm Report team will be at the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic. In fact, remember, through all of the winter conferences, events, conventions, you can follow us, Midwest Farm Report, on both Facebook as well as Instagram. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook as well as Instagram if you want to see the team in action. Not a lot of action yesterday in Chicago as far as the dairy complex was concerned. Barrel cheese stood still at 182.5. 40-pound block cheese up a quarter at 191.25. Well, AA butter dropped a half a cent to 254.5. As far as the grain trade was concerned yesterday in Chicago, again, not a lot of action. We saw the March corn finish up just a penny at 459.5. December 2025 corn, that was up 2.75 cents at 446.5. January soybeans up a penny at 999.5, not quite the $10. And November new crop was up nearly 3 cents at 1028. The March wheat dropped almost 6 cents at 545.75. The July new crop was down a nickel at 564.5. Meanwhile, our January class 3 milk, just a nickel stronger, closed at 2036 a hundredweight. Coming up next, speaking of cheese, did you ever wonder why cheese curds squeak? There is a whole science behind it. Up next, Ben Jarbo is taking us into the research laboratories where they are trying to find out how, pray tell, can we extend the squeakiness of cheese curds? That's one of the stories yet on the way for a Friday morning. So glad you're along with us.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so, saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk the Packer-Bear matchup with Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. Then Rob Thomas drops by to talk movies and TV. Now that's a Friday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
In on that, thanks to the Dairy Innovation Hub, trying to find great ideas that are going to make Wisconsin's already strong dairy industry even stronger in the future. Stick around for that. You know, this is the time of the year when a lot of our youth are thinking about the county fair. Many families now are shopping for livestock that their kids will be exhibiting at county fairs later this summer. Coming up on January 11th, a lot of kids that are involved in exhibiting hogs will be joining up with their other family members as well as breeders for a show pig camp. Jeff Morris is our UW Extension swine outreach specialist, and he says that they've got a couple different topics they'll be focused in on this year. Again, January 11th in Wisconsin Dells.
We're going to talk selection with Mr. Ben Kronberg. He's a Wisconsin native, and he's known nationally for his ability of selecting prize-winning animals and having them win at the national level. So when we look at Ben talking about selection, we have Krisha Geffert, who works for ADM ShowTech, that's going to talk nutrition. And then one important thing is biosecurity, traceability, and such that we must constantly highlight. And John Hines, who works for the National Pork Board, and then Morgan Warwick from Wisconsin Pork Association are going to be there to tag team that and help educate our youth and families on that.
Yeah, good topics. That's Jeff Morris, our University Extension Swine Specialist. Again, this is an event January 11th, Chula Vista Resort, Wisconsin Dells, from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. Anybody that is interested in exhibiting hogs as a livestock project, or maybe getting involved in showing hogs on a little bit bigger scale, is welcome to join. They'd like you to register by today so they can get a final meal count. All you need to do is pop on over to the Wisconsin Pork Producers website, WPPA.org, WPPA.org. And now, the story you've all been waiting for if you're a cheese lover like me. How many times have you bought a bag of cheese curds and they disappoint you? It's not about the flavor, it's about the squeak. Well, now university researchers are trying to figure out how they can extend the squeak of cheese curds. And our Ben Jarbo has the latest. Ben?
If you were to go anywhere in the U.S. and ask someone what the number one food from Wisconsin is, they'd probably say a cheese curd. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Dr. Ronnie Govindasamy Lucy with the Center for Dairy Research is here to explain why her recent research project is looking at the squeakiness of a cheese curd.
Well, we are in Wisconsin, you know. Wisconsinites love to eat cheese curds, right? And we all know when we eat cheese curds, we love them to be squeaky. Unfortunately, this squeakiness, you know, is quickly lost about after 4 to 5 days after it's made. And currently, we find that we can only have fresh cheese curds in few locations like Wisconsin, you know, because most of the plants which make cheese are located in the vicinity. Cheese curds which are sold in different parts, other locations, are often several weeks old, and they lack the squeakiness which we are all used to in a cheese curd, and then they also lack the refreshing taste of curds immediately after cheese making. So since this cheese curd is so popular, delicious snack, many consumers around the country are often interested in experiencing this squeaky trick. However, because of the short window of the squeakiness being lost, in which the cheese curds stay fresh and squeaky, many people outside of Wisconsin cannot enjoy this unique delight. So we wanted to have more people outside of Wisconsin to get the squeaky curds. Now, also, you know, cheese curds are very good on-the-go source of protein. So if you can find approaches to extend squeakiness in cheese curd, can help in the widespread distribution sales of this snacks nationally. And maybe it could also offer export growth possibilities. So these are some of the reasons why we wanted to look at how we can go about extending the squeakiness of cheese curds. Also, another thing is also we have been doing a lot of work in other cheese varieties, looking at how we can extend the performance shelf life of cheese like mozzarella, cheddar cheese to make processed cheese so that we can export all these cheeses. And when you export cheese, they're being shipped to long distance. So we wanted to make sure that we can retain the properties of the cheese, you know, its performance shelf life. One of the things things we did was to try to develop a method to measure squeakiness in cheese. Currently, there's no method except from sensorily retasting it and seeing, oh, it's squeaky. It's not squeaky. But we don't have a method to quantitatively tell how squeaky it is. So that is another reason why we wanted to understand why, how we can extend the shelf life of squeakiness. We need to understand how can we measure the squeakiness. So in the project, we developed method to measure squeakiness by actually, we collaborated with the audiology department in the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So basically, in the Center for Dairy Research, we are cheese technologists. We know how to make cheese. We know how to test them. But we have never done something different where we worked with audiology department to try to come up with a method to measure squeakiness in cheese.
Dr. Govinda Sami Lucy says that with this partnership with the audiology department, they are using microphones to listen to every tiny squeak that a person has while they're chewing a cheese curd. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Allbush Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Cover crops are helping growers become sustainable. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
There never seems to be enough time in the day to get all your farm work done. You're tempted to cut corners, but doing so can put you at risk of injury or worse. I urge you to resist the temptation. Play it safe. So what if it takes a little longer? You'll live to farm another day. Farm safety is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. The more we learn about cover crops, the better they sound. Jacob Kelly works with commercial horticulture for Alabama Extension.
We can reduce soil compaction with some of these crops. We can increase our soil organic matter. We can control erosion, and that's a big one on a lot of these farms. And there's also some weed control as well as nematode control. And they're also scavengers. They can scavenge nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus from the soil and bring it up to where our crops need to use them.
Kelly says cover crops can even provide pest control benefits.
When we put our insect traps out there to catch these moths, we're catching so many you can't even count them all on the trap. And then we're going out in the field and scouting, and we're not finding very many larvae. We'll find some eggs. The eggs will hatch, but the number of larvae that are out there in the field are very minimal. And that's, I think, partially due to the number of beneficial insects we're bringing in. The parasitic wasp and paper wasps, honeybees, and ladybugs that will destroy any of these unwanted insects before we have to intervene with any insecticides.
Kelly says even tree crops can benefit from cover crops between the rows. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Michael Wallace. New Orleans is getting back on its feet after this week's deadly truck attack. Bourbon Street has reopened, and the city successfully hosted the Sugar Bowl yesterday. Vonnie Cochran is a proud resident.
We are here to just celebrate our city and come back. You know, we're not going to let this shut us down.
CBS's Omar Villafranca has the latest on the investigation into the attack by Army veteran Shamsuddin Jabbar.
After midnight on the morning of the attack, he placed two improvised explosive devices in coolers in the French Quarter. He posted a final online video proclaiming his support for ISIS just minutes before he plowed into the crowd on Bourbon Street.
Jabbar's brother, Abdur Rahim Jabbar, says he hadn't seen him in 6 months.
Everything was just how he had always been. With me and around the rest of his family, you know, full of love, well-mannered, well-tempered, helpful.
In Las Vegas, police believe active duty Special Forces Sergeant Matthew